If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Acts. Acts chapter 6, and beginning at verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So we continue this story in Acts, this beginnings of the church, this great pouring out of God. And we're seeing it more and more and more. And we're coming to a real critical junction of the story. In any great narrative or movie, a great story, there's a point of conflict, of discord that a story will hinge on. And we're coming to one of those hinges in just a little while with Stephen. The church at this point has faced some persecution, but has enjoyed a time of great growth and blessing. We saw last week this growth got so much that they had to start to organize themselves. And in that organization, to better proclaim the kingdom of God more and more and more. Now, the caution that I want to give us always, as we look at God's word, and particularly in these story sorts of things, as we look at stories, we often try to see principles that will guide us, or examples, good and bad, that we can go by. And, where we see how God is moving in a certain way, and we want to maybe take some example from that. And in fact, last week, if you recall, I ended talking about this time of organization, and they selected some men to help with the distributing of food. But even in that, their numbers increased. And they spread the word of God more and more. And I said, make sure we keep the main thing. Remember that? And as I thought about this last week, I want to make sure that we're careful. That when I said the main thing, and I was referencing the gospel, the proclaim of God's word, right? And it is the main thing. It's a very important thing. But we need to be careful. In some ways, I may have misspoke that. Because always, the heartbeat of God's word, what he shows us in every single page, every verse, every word, every letter, is not the things we do, or what God wants us to do, or even what he wants us to become. And it's all there, it is. And it's not in the good examples, or the bad examples, or the principles, or the teaching. It's God. It's him. He is what this book is about. And all that other stuff is there. Absolutely is there. It shows us who God is, and then how we should act accordingly. It shows us and tells us of his great love and what he did to reach out to us. It shows us of his mercy and his grace and the sending of his son to die for us so that we can live a certain way. And you go through the epistles and all these things, and it teaches us how to apply those great truths. But even then, always, it must be him. In our desire to want to control things, in our fears of day-to-day life, as we try to grasp for something to hang on to, we may fall away from God himself and try to latch onto rules, principles, theologies. It's about God. And today we move into the man Stephen. And coming up, he has a chapter 7. He's going to have a great speech, a sermon in his persecution. And it's the longest one in the book of Acts. It's huge. Much to be taken there. But today I want to look at Stephen himself, the man Stephen. We were introduced to him last week when they chose the 7. He was one of Stephen and Philip, and they mentioned him specifically. Now they mention him a bit more. But even here, as we look at him and his example and who he is, try to hear, what does this tell us about God, about who he is, and why we should worship him, why we should follow him, why more and more is he the treasure that is worth everything. Now, couple ideas that I want us to ponder as we look at Stephen here is, you often hear in life, and I've heard this from very good, wise people, the idea of balance, right? Well, we don't have balance in our lives. We don't have balance in our activity and our sleeping. Too much of one, not enough of the other. Either way, we'll get in trouble. Our bodies will suffer for it. Or have a balance with our work and job and recreation. Right? You work 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, and pretty soon you'll burn out. And wise people will tell you, have balance in your life. Make time for your children, for just recreation, for relaxing. Read something that's fun sometimes, or get some exercise, or whatever it is. Balance, balance, balance. Have the balance. Moderation. Don't go to extremes in your life. Try to keep it steady. And then we have those folks who are a little more radical in their thinking. And we think of being radical. We think of some crazy person that's just focused singly, and then that's all I think about, right? Could be abusive in personality. They're just so focused that nothing else matters. They're not moderate. They're not balanced. Well, in Stephen, I think we see what I'll call a balanced radical, all right? A balanced radical. In my sermon title, I call it a winsome radical. Because for us to get this biblical idea of balance, and we go with just the idea of moderation or that, it becomes insipid, weak, soft, lukewarm. In the lives of the characters of the Bible, we see very little insipid, soft, lukewarm, do we? I mean, these people we see who are for God are fired up folk, radical folks. And we don't like that word. Often in our culture, more and more, that word radical has become a pejorative. Radical Muslim, a radical Christian, or radical politician, radical left, radical right. And it's not a good thing in those kind of contexts. But a balance in Christianity, in our life, I believe refers to a totality of obedience, not a moderation. You do not want to moderate your obedience to Jesus. You want to be moderate in your enthusiasm for Him, for God Himself, and for what He has for us. So in this story here, we're going to see, I think, or take a peek at five of Stephen's characteristics. Because Christianity kind of brings characteristics together that maybe you wouldn't normally think of. Characteristics of radicalness and moderation together to live a full life in obedience to Him. Now in this story, we see, and it's interesting, I think, that we know first off that Stephen was chosen as one of these seven, and what was his job was to distribute food. In fact, remember that, and we got past the point last week of we're not talking about something that's lowly or beneath people, okay? This is not that, but it was a different job, But here we are, we see that one, and I think this applies to all of us, that we are not limited in our service to God. To say that my calling is to help in the kitchen does not exclude you from presenting the gospel to somebody. Does not preclude you from showing God's power in your life and around you. And Stephen, I think, shows us that. And we see it in so many ways. Now, he rises up and people are disputing against him. Stephen is known as an apologist, a defender of the faith. And in his winsomeness, in his faith, they couldn't contend against him. And so they had to go to other means to try to discredit him. They had to make up stuff. And there's a lesson there for us to be aware of. And they went after the temple and said he spoke against that and against Moses, the traditions. And I'm not going to cover that much today, but there's something to keep in our mind, isn't it? Are we in a rut? Are we so concerned about our tradition and the buildings and the structures of our lives that God himself is... And in fact, in his speech, Stephen goes right at that, God's word. But five things, five characteristics that I want us to make sure we are keeping in mind from the life of Stephen. The first one I want to look at is actually back in verse 5. When they chose him, he's a man of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So faith. He's a man of faith. And he was full of faith. And I think that's very purposeful to see someone that is full of faith, to be overflowing with faith. And that's a great thing. Remember now, what did Jesus say about faith? If you have a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So what can a man who's full of faith do? What can a woman who is full of faith do? That's a powerful thing. It powerful, wonderful thing. And so this character of Stephen is one of faith. When people saw him, in fact, that's why he was chosen. The community at large, when they saw Stephen, they said, there's a man of faith. You wonder, what is it that people see when they see a person of faith? Maybe see things of, like in Romans 1:17, it says, the righteous shall live by faith. They saw righteousness in him. Maybe they saw the justification that he lived in, as it tells us in Romans 5:1. A person of faith we see in Romans 10 was, hearing of the word of God. And he lived that out. But he was a man of faith, a belief, that was part of who he was. And with anything like this, the question that pops up for all of us always is, you know, we read through these narrative sorts of things, examples, good and bad, or principles. Am I this kind of person? Are you this kind of person? When you're at school or at work, at the cafe, wherever it is, do people look at you and say, that's a person of faith? Now be careful. They may say, look at you. I get this all the time. Sometimes they Pastor Steve driving the garbage truck, right? He's religious. Are you religious? No, I'm a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. And that's what I want people to see. Faith in good and bad, ups and downs, steadiness. That's what faith gives us. It gives us the power and the strength to endure. That is what we want people to see. The character of faith is a radical characteristic in our culture. To see someone of that kind of faith that moves them at every turn, that informs every decision, that's radical. And that's what we want to see in our lives. The second thing we see there in verse 5 and also in verse 10 is, again, full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. It's the very nature of who he was, filled with Spirit. Now, again, we can't avoid it. This whole book of Acts, we could title it not the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because everything that's done here, every miracle, every power, every move, the expansion of the gospel, every person who comes to Christ from, Stephen here and Philip, and now we'll come to Saul, who's going to be Paul, and shipwrecks, and just all of it there, all of it is the God's working by His Spirit in people. A boldness, a power that is there by His Spirit. What does that look like? Again, when someone looks at someone and they, what would they see? What would someone look at and see in somebody? They would say, oh, they are full of the Spirit. Where would they even get that language? What does that look like today? Now for Stephen, we see it in his signs and wonders. There's a power there that, in fact, it's interesting. He's the first person, not an apostle, to be credited with this sort of work of the Spirit, which again leads me to conclude, I cannot make myself what they would call a cessationist. Some folks would say that sort of thing was for them, but now today we just got to kind of plod along. And okay, admit it, we don't see it a lot, do we? We're not seeing lame people walk and blind people see a lot, and you hear stories of that sometimes, but you got to be careful. But God can do what he's going to do. And Stephen was a great example. So what do we see today? What is this full of the Spirit look like today? And do we dare, want it, pursue it, need it? I think first we see it in fruit. That's what Galatians tells us, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. And the question is that me? Is that you? Are you seeing that fruit? Do you want the fruit more and more and more? Yes, it's going to be more and more. We're going to grow. Fruit doesn't pop out of the tree, does it? We don't have blossoms one day and the next day a ripe apple. But do we have the blossoms? Is it growing? That is the question that we have. The fruit of the Spirit should be overflowing. When people see us, that's what they should see. That's a loving person. That's a faithful person. That's a caring person. That's a self-controlled person more and more and more. And when we fail, we fall upon God's grace and we confess it and admit it. One of the most powerful things we can do as an example and a witness to the people out there is to say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. It's shocking to people in the world if you say to them, oh, yesterday, you saw me kind of get mad because that coworker stole my lunch out of the fridge and I said a bad thing about him, and you agreed, that he was kind of a jerk. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. And then go to the person that you were talking about and say you're sorry to them even though they didn't know about it. You could have let it slide. And if you go to them and say, you know what, yesterday I thought I called you a jerk. And in fact, it was just in my head, but I did it and I'm sorry. That's the power of the Spirit. That's a Spirit-full person. And we'll see it more and more and more. We see in the book of Acts the power of Spirit and boldness. That these folks who just out of nowhere, had the power and were just telling everybody, and were bold about it. It was noted in the apostles, like, who are these guys? They're like fishermen and such, and now they're preaching? There's a boldness there in our faith, in our mission, in everything. And there is a power. I don't want to put aside that idea of power. Now, power can be a scary thing. Too many people desire power. And often it pours over into thinking of political power or social power. We see power struggles in families. People abuse God's word. Husbands, fathers who abuse in God's name is a show of power. And that is not what we're talking about here. But we are talking about the power of changed life. We're talking about the power of prayer. We are talking the power of living out this faith in the face of adversity. That is great power. Do not discount that kind of power. You say, I don't see anybody healed. I'm not seeing flocks of people come to Christ. I'm not seeing these things. But if God has changed your heart, that is a miracle. And no one can take that away. There's the power in the fullness of the Spirit. We see in Stephen another fullness that I think is wonderful. In verse 8, a man full of grace. Full of grace. Oh, thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. This is a winsome characteristic, isn't it? To know graceful people is a wonderful thing. And it stands out. When you see someone that's full of grace, it just radiates off of them. To see graceful people. And in here, in this idea of full, in different places of the Bible, it speaks of like a super abounding of grace. In Romans 5:20, Paul says, when sin increased, grace increased all the more, abounds. In 1 Timothy 1:14, he speaks of grace overflowing over all our sin. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. For by grace we are saved through faith. It is about grace. And we can see it in places all through the Bible. Look at the bad treatment that Joseph received. And in Genesis chapter 50, he told his brothers, you meant it for harm. But because of grace, he was able to say, I see now that God meant it for good. That is grace in our life. When people harm you, the circumstance of your life, the problems, the sicknesses, all these things, for us by grace, we can say, God is in that and with me. I looked at Psalm 73. The psalmist there is Asaph. And he envied the world. He was envying. And the things of this world and the problems that he faces because of it and being envious of that. And he struggled through it. And he said at the end, though, in 73, verse 25, who have I in heaven but you? Nothing I desire but you. My flesh cries out. My flesh may fail, but you are the strength of my heart. That's grace. To come through seeing this world and the problems of it, and then come to the end and say, God is my... And then, in that overflowing of grace, we pass it on. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7 talks about ministering comfort. As we have received comfort, we give it out. And that is an act of grace. Do not discount the radical winsomeness of a graceful... And people will see that and know it, be full of that. A fourth characteristic that Stephen shows us is wisdom. The character's wisdom. They could not stand against this wisdom that he had in verse 10. Now, wisdom is defined as a quality of three things: knowledge, experience, and good judgment. Knowledge, experience, and good judgment. And wisdom is not something that just happens. You have to have the knowledge first. Now, having knowledge doesn't mean you're wise, but you need it. You need it. But over time, and again, something that God can give. And we see in Stephen that his wisdom was from the Spirit. It was a powerful thing in him. It was powered here by his word and by God's Spirit. And it was a wisdom of applying and understanding what God's word says and how it affects and works in our lives. James tells us, if we lack wisdom, ask and it will be given. When was the last time in your prayers or thinking you asked, God, give me some wisdom. Not just knowledge, not deliverance from a problem, but wisdom to understand. Wisdom to apply, wisdom to make a good decision. And it is, again, a spiritual thing. And Stephen was full and exuded wisdom. Wisdom is an attractive characteristic. I love wise people. I seek out wise people. When I have a question, when I'm struggling with something, I want to talk to a wise person. It's always good to have some wise folk around you and help you keep you on the way. A fifth characteristic that Stephen shows us is that aspect of power. And it does speak again to the radical nature of our faith. Again, some people will try to abuse that, try to use it, try to manipulate it, but there's no denying that in our character there is a aspect of power, and to deny it is to deny God's Spirit in us. We must be folks of power, that we don't have to be afraid, that we can stand up, we can endure. When I read of, and you see stories of brothers and sisters in Nigeria, of churches being burned, of people being hacked to pieces because of their faith, and still standing up and saying that I forgive you and helping those who persecute them. That's power. That is power. And we can live in that. It's a radical power. It's a changed life. It's holiness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's all this coming together in a attractive, winsome, wholesome, powerful, radical way. Stephen is a great model for us of a radical, powerful, gracious life of obedience. As we look into his speech, we're going to see then the power of God's Word, the power of the Spirit working in him. And it's interesting how it shows up in his very demeanor. At the end of the section today, he said he had the face of an angel. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. Was it like Moses and glowed? Or maybe it's just a calmness, a peace. He has people accusing him, yelling at him, saying lies against him. Is that our reaction? Someone lies about me, when they come at me with falsehoods, do I have a calm demeanor of graciousness and wisdom? Or I go right back at them? Oh yeah, you're lying. How dare you? It can be hard to take sometimes, but Stephen shows us. This is not a weak man. We're not seeing Stephen as a weak man, weak in faith. No, he's a powerful man, strong, full of grace, and able to counter things with his very demeanor. This sort of radical Christianity will come at a cost. And if it doesn't, if there is no cost, if your life is going along totally smoothly with no bumps, no issues, everybody loves you, there's no problems at all, you may want to take a peek at it. Again, don't be a jerk. All right? Don't try to tweak people on purpose. There's grace. But people will react unfavorably because they don't have it and they want it. So ask ourselves this week, am I living this sort of a winsome radical? Not just for the sake of wanting to control things around me, to make myself appropriate, to give myself favor with God or with people, but simply a life of obedience. If we do that, we will be radical. Light shines out very strongly in darkness. So it does not take much, but it's a powerful working of God's Spirit in this world. And Stephen shows us a great way. And he shows us that it could be anybody. You could be Stephen, because it's not about Stephen. It's about God. And that's what it is. We're going to take our time of communion now as we come to this table. And this is the representative, what shows us the price that was paid for us to be able to live this kind of a life. All are welcome to this table. If you have named Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, this table is for you. And we'll pass out the little bit of bread, a little bit of juice, and we'll hold it together and drink and eat together as we pass them.